You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Alongside a fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the King, Scott Angle, and Wall Street, Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman, and we are back to football, back to playoff baseball. A lot going on this Thursday. Scotty! Good morning.
Good morning, my friend. Another wild card game in the books. Congratulations to the Arizona Diamondbacks and their fans.
What was that? Congratulations.
Congratulations to the Arizona Diamondbacks and their fans. What do you think I said?
I didn't know. That's why I asked you.
Here we go into another week five. My lineup ranks are posted on rotoexperts.com, part of your exclusive Edge in-season fantasy baseball package. Enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
In fact, it's part of your RotoExperts exclusive fantasy football package here this morning. You said baseball now.
Baseball on the brain. Huh? It's that time of year where you got both. And the NBA is coming up, too. We have our guard rankings up, and forwards coming today from Brandon Williams.
Absolutely. Very exciting stuff. Matt Modica, sir, good morning.
Oh, good morning. I am charged up. I got some sleep last night. What's cooler than cool? Ice cold. The NHL, New York Rangers kick off their season tonight.
Yeah, how about that? New York Rangers kick off their season. So it's hockey season as well, Scott. Don't leave out the puck.
No, of course not. If you're still drafting, George Blue Line Kurt says everything you need on our NHL tab on rotoexperts.com. We'll be writing a weekly column around the net. He's been writing it for years.
Okay, so there you go. Around the net with George Kurtz. Corey, he's the fantasy executive. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you doing, Greg?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. I haven't had my hockey draft yet.
Okay. Well, hopefully you'll read George Kurtz's column.
I'm going to read around the net, and then I'll be ready for my draft.
All right. Perfect.
I don't know who's going to be in this league with me.
You got a guy in a Ranger jersey to my left.
Yeah.
Did you have a shrimp burrito last night?
No. I want to go to sleep now, though.
Are you slept yet?
Huh? Don't worry about that.
I'm going to worry about you.
Why are you worried about me?
I'm going to worry about you because you sat in that very seat yesterday and you made some proclamations.
About what?
Don't go getting Latavius Murray. Do you know what you did last night?
I got Latavius Murray.
You did.
Yep.
You did. You didn't take your own advice, it sounds like.
I had a partner in this league.
I understand, but you made it clear yesterday on the show that you make the decisions.
I had a partner in this league and we have struggled at the running back position because we have Isaiah Crowell and Marshawn Lynch.
Sure.
It's two running backs that are struggling.
And now you have a third in Latavius Murray.
Yeah. We had a discussion last night and more or less we need him because of our problem at running back, and especially this week with Tevin Coleman on the bye.
Sure, but you and his whole proclamation yesterday.
We didn't go crazy for his price, though.
I saw someone, a smart player last night, bid $808 on Latavius Murray.
I've noticed that, we talk about smart players, and you talk a lot, a smart player paid whatever for whatever player. Like, these smart players aren't always so smart.
No. They drop. Look, in leagues, I mean, NFC Hall of Famer Christopher Carroll has pointed this out. In leagues, you're going to see good players drop good
amounts of cash.
Yeah, they drop good amounts of cash on players that are suspect, and they get to drop good players from their lineup.
Yeah, so they're not always brilliant. So when we come back from the break, I've called my friend, the fantasy executive.
You have.
I'm gonna then move to your left and call the king out next. I think it's only fair to do that.
That's fun.
Because he accused me of something yesterday, and I'm gonna explain exactly why I was right when we come back. It's Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning. And as I mentioned, I had to call out Corey to start the show because he went off about Latavius Murray yesterday.
I want to correct you on that,
too. You opened the show.
I did not say don't go get Latavius Murray. I said Latavius Murray would be hurt in a few weeks. You know what I'm saying? That the better, a lot of places, the better bid would be to drop down and get Jerick McKinnon for when he take the job over. But if you needed Latavius Murray, you go get him. I needed him in that league.
You said leave Latavius Murray out there and go get Jerick McKinnon. That was what you said.
I hope everybody didn't take it that way. But if you needed Latin Murray, you go get him.
You said he was not at the top of your list.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, I have a partner on this team, so kiss my ass.
There you go. Okay.
All of y'all.
Now come for me. Now we're during the break. When would you like it?
Now.
I'm looking for
looking forward to it. There you go. All right.
What's wrong with Scott?
What are you asking me for?
You're right.
Don't tempt me.
You're right, Greg. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mr. Sussman. Don't keep me after class.
We're this joke. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's funny. Whenever I repeat a joke, he calls me out. Right. But like when his bestie Corey does it, he never says anything.
He opened the show calling me out.
No, but when he repeats a joke, he never says anything. Anyway, go on. Class, continue. Go ahead.
Great, I will. I'm going to call you out now because what you said yesterday was an asinine statement, and I'm going to call you out for it.
Okay.
You called me out for giving up in a league because the three players I didn't want at the top of the waiver wire. One was Latavius Murray, who went for $75 out of 100. We all agreed that was an absurd number.
Before you go on, though, you did explain it. You did explain it to me.
No!
I no longer feel that way.
Oh, you don't feel that way. Because when Corey walked in here, you ran and told him, "Oh, Greg gave up in a league." The second he walked in here yesterday.
You did.
Even after we had the conversation.
Right, so and you explained it, and I was wrong.
No. I explained it, and then you talked to Corey. So let me continue my explanation for you on this fine Thursday morning.
Okay.
Then you get to Aaron Jones. Right. And I explained to you, I thought Aaron Jones, by far, in my opinion, was a one-week guy and a guy I couldn't trust.
Right.
Matt, who practiced yesterday?
Ty Montgomery.
Are you mad at it?
Yeah, but I don't understand why you're asking Matt.
Did you change your name to Matt Scott?
Matt, who practiced?
But the teacher has to call on other people in class.
Both Ty Montgomery and Jamal Williams.
I'm sorry. So Ty Montgomery and Jamal Williams practiced. So the Aaron Jones pickup that people are spending a significant amount of their budget for may be completely useless, you're saying. Oh, okay, cool.
So you need to pair up with Matt to make a point instead of discussing it with me. And this is about us.
I'm highlighting my point because I'm going to get to the third running back. And that is your boy, Wayne Gallman. Matt, who practiced yesterday?
Paul Perkins practiced yesterday.
Oh, in full.
Orleans Darkware might play again.
So there you go. So the number three, Scotty, was the running back. Wait, hold on. Let me finish it off.
Hold on.
Let me finish my point.
Well.
The
guy who cries all throughout is Mike Lyons.
The third running back here that you wanted me to pick up, the starting running back, and that backup may be back as soon as Sunday as well. So the three guys, despite my record, I felt were not good buys this week, and you called me out saying I gave up because I didn't want them, all may not exactly be the best pickup by any means. So I feel vindicated by the practice reports yesterday, and I still remain offended that you accused me of giving up.
Okay, sir. First off, let's start here. I would never mean to offend you. I love you.
Thank you.
Okay? Number two, we're besties, but that's good with you. Second off, I felt yesterday, maybe the way I phrased it, I offended you. I didn't mean to offend you. I felt like I like 0-4. Corey, why don't you say my piece?
No, Scott,
get off your knees right now.
Yeah. Get off your knees and get to it.
It took you 20 minutes to answer every question yesterday. Okay. Anyway, as far as Goldman goes, I still think he's going to be the guy. Perkins is garbage. And, Darkwa, I don't know, maybe it could be timeshare. So I don't know if I agree there. In the lens of yesterday, I felt like you're 0-4. You're desperate. You didn't have a good situation. Running back, I was curious. Maybe the way I phrased it, saying that maybe you quit on it, was wrong, but I was still very curious as to why you weren't more aggressive. And I would say, you know, in the eyes of the Green Bay practice reports, yes, you are vindicated. With the Giants, I still think Gallman might be the guy.
As Matt was saying, honestly, during the break, ultimately, I felt that maybe Gallman is the guy. I'm not even denying that fact. Cause a lot of smart people are going after Wayne Gallman here this week. Even my partners at the BFFs, they wanted, or specifically Florio, he wanted Gallman. And Matt brought up the point during
Florio
the break.
Florio wanted Gallman?
Yeah.
Is he all right?
Matt pointed out during the break that even if Gallman gets this job, Giants don't run the ball. They don't want to run the ball. They don't care about
I believe
running the
they
ball.
Have 11 rushing touchdowns from the running back in the last 2 years. That's two plus years.
They don't care. They just don't. They don't want to try. And their offense is
Gallman scored last week.
On a run?
No, but still scored.
He did score a run. So, and he's not going to be someone that catches passes out of the backfield with regularity by any means. That's going to be Shane Vereen's job. So
it was Shane Vereen's job to catch two out the backfield a week. So there you go about that being his
he
job.
He will have one game this year when he catches seven.
But I don't get with the Giants, though. The Giants should be using Shane Vereen in that Chris Thompson mold. They're, you know, look, Thompson's younger and
I think
better.
See, the thing is, I think Vereen is done.
Yeah, well, that could be the case. Injuries probably caught up with him. I think he's done. And all that, but.
So you look at both scenarios here with Aaron Jones and you look at Wayne Gallman, and I just did not feel comfortable. I still don't. So I go to you guys who I know had major waivers run last night, and I want to know because it's funny. On my waivers that ran Tuesday, all three of these guys went for significant prices.
The only argument I could make with you the other day in that league where you were 0-4, is whatever you had $88 left. I probably would have put like 90% on Latavius Murray. Just that's the only one. Because he's, and I don't even like Latavius.
Yeah, I understand what you didn't want to. I understand what you didn't want to, and that's to Corey's point, you know, we're talking about with his cone over. You don't want to, but in some situations, you may have to.
You, and I get that, and I understand that, and I just look at it kind of like Corey did yesterday. It's Latavius Murray.
No, I feel what you're saying, but if you're in a pitiful spot with Isaiah Crowell and Marshawn Lynch, like I was in the GST, I had to do it because he has the most upside of the backs that was out there. I'm not happy about it. Do you think I want to be in this situation?
I understand.
Do you think I want to bring Lat Murray and his degenerative ankles into my locker room?
I got to
hire Dr. A for one player. I got to get him a platelet-rich injection, whatever that's called.
Platelet-rich plasma injection.
Yeah, plasma injection.
I'll make
for
a point
Murray.
Here.
I got to buy platelets for my locker room now.
In a league where I lost David Johnson and Dalvin Cook, I have, running backs I'm starting this week. And Buck Allen, I'm actually ecstatic to be starting. I think this is a really good matchup for Buck Allen. I think he has a very good game. I have Buck Allen, Joe Mixon, and due to the bye weeks, I have to put Giovanni Bernard in the flex.
He needs Latavius Murray on that team.
Now,
needed Latavius Murray, the two words that go together that are scary.
Correct. And as I said, on Tuesday night, you had Latavius Murray go for that amount. In one league, someone that felt they needed him did go for it. They did put $90 on him. And then you had both Aaron Jones and Wayne Gallman go for over a quarter of budgets. So my question to you gentlemen now is, on the Wednesday night waiver run, did this change at all how much these three guys went in the leagues that you all participate in?
Lat Murray was the buy of the night in most places at the running back position.
Now, got him in our league. You drafted Latavius Murray for about $380 and change or so, which at $1,000 is about, say, $38 of that, of course. I bid 48 or 52 or whatnot, so I would have gotten him for that amount. So I, even though you went off yesterday, you didn't put even half your budget on him. So your bid was fair.
It was a fair bid. I saw bids last night in the 500s and the 700s for Lat Murray.
Okay.
Depending on situations, the high wide receiver last night was Will Fuller. If he was out there, he was going for a significant amount. And then I was just going after. As I do the waivers like I do the draft. It depends on how it fits my team. team by team, how it fits my team, what I need for my roster construction. I got a lot of Austin Eckler last night because I got Melvin Gordon in a couple spots where he's not backed up.
Here's the thing. In one of my prime times with Vlad Sedler at Roto Gut, where we're fifth overall in that, the five running backs went like this. Latavius Murray, 719. Eddie Lacy, 602.
Wow.
Aaron Jones, 263. Thomas Rawls, 257. And Wayne Goldman, 250.
Yeah, the GST, Corey and Brian got Latin Murray for 389. Wayne Goldman went for 211. Aaron Jones went for 201. Austin Eckler went for 168.
So there you go. Those are the names. I actually expected a little bit less on Eckler. I thought I had a good shot at Eckler. It didn't happen in the GST. But the prices were, in all honesty, a bit similar to what we saw on Tuesday night for these guys.
And real quick, the thing on Eckler is he's like the stash and cash guy.
Correct.
Don't be looking for him to pop this week. I mean, maybe he catches a couple of passes and takes it to the house against the Giants. But
hopefully
he's a guy that you're stashing and cashing. You're banking on Melvin Gordon with a bum knee. Dr. A saying at some point this guy has to take some time off.
Yep. And that's why I got Austin Eckler.
And that's why you own Austin. And that's exactly why you own Austin Eckler. Let's talk more about Brandon Oliver, Melvin Gordon, and Austin Eckler coming up in just a few. Whole lot of headlines to get to here in this hour. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hey, this is Greg Sussman from the Roto Experts in the Morning, and listen, we could all use a little help sometimes. That's why I talk to three guys every single day that help me with my fantasy teams. But if you need help with your fantasy teams, and you probably do, you should purchase the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football In-Season Package, featuring weekly lineup ranks, chats with our experts every single day, and player cards for every player in the NFL, including reports from InsideInjuries.com. You cannot beat it. Don't set your lineups without checking the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge In-Season Package. All right, so we mentioned just a moment ago Aaron Eckhart, also known as Austin Eckler. And why...
Or Mr. Eckler.
Sure, I'm going with the Aaron Eckhart thing. It just kind of comes to my mind. So...
Carmelo.
No one can see you. You know that.
I know. I don't care, Greg. This is how I want to rock it this morning.
You can rock whoever you want, but you're saying Carmelo. And I was like, what the hell are you this guy talking
Carmelo
about?
Carmelo Anthony.
No, I understand
hoodie,
that no one can
hoodie
see
Mello.
You. Yeah, no, I got it.
I'm going to describe to the audience what you're talking about. Corey's wearing his hood over his baseball hat.
And his headphones as well.
Yes. And my headphones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And besides me, nobody knew what was on Greg Sussman's shirt.
Correct.
Well, it's a genie.
It's not.
Not a gene?
It's not. It's Stefan.
Who's Stefan?
From Saturday Night Live.
He's a character from Saturday Night Live. He's Bill Hader's most famous character from Saturday Night Live.
It's a genie. The character's not a genie?
Not even remotely close to a genie.
All right. I'm out of that. I didn't know. I thought it was a genie.
It is not a genie. Anyway, let me get into this Austin Eckler, Brandon Oliver, Melvin Gordon thing. Melvin Gordon's annoyed because he's not getting the amount of carries that he wants. Brandon Oliver, out with a hamstring injury, I believe, at the moment. We know how those things linger. And then you have Austin Eckler, who played three snaps or four snaps or whatnot and got the ball on three of them. So, if Melvin Gordon is banged up, Brandon Oliver is banged up, seems to be going well for Austin Eckler. But Melvin Gordon says, I'm fine. Give me the rock. The problem is when you give him the rock, he only gets like 3 yards at a time.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, look, I'm going off of, Eckler, whatever the hell his name is, he hasn't had that many carries and stuff. But I'm going off of the situation here. Dr. Ray said at some point this guy has to take a break on his knee. He's coming off of the microfracture. The beat writer, I don't know if I'm going to say his name right, Dan Wokey, I believe it is. He's been on this guy, and we saw it the one run. He had the 35-yard touchdown. I want to have a part of the Los Angeles Chargers running game under Anthony Lynn. So if at some point, even if he carves out a little role for himself, this is a stash and cash play. I figured I looked at it this week. I really didn't want any of these running backs that were going to go for a sizable amount of money. I just didn't feel like that was good capital to waste this week. In certain situations, if you needed a Latavius Murray, I understand it. So I'm looking at the long game, stash and cash.
And on the rotoexperts.com play card for Melvin Gordon, inside injury says, injury risk elevated, health performance factor below average, which we've obviously seen on the field. But the one thing is that, look, if Gordon is not going to get the yardage, and his yards per carry, even when he was healthy last season, wasn't too impressive, he's going to finish off drives for a team that's going to score a lot. So you still got to pop him in your lineup just because of that alone, because of, you know, the fact that he's probably the best, but he yields the best fantasy results when it comes to goal line running. As far as Eckler goes, you know, after Matt astutely pointed out what a good pickup he was, I went to do more research for him, and the ESPN beat guy for the Chargers was saying that, you know, the team was very internally excited about him regardless, even before his run last year. They fear he's very versatile and explosive, and it was a real surprise coming to the team as an undrafted free agent last year.
Yeah, he there's a really good story about him. If you read his story of how how he got to the Chargers.
What happened?
Basically, he was invited. So at the University of Colorado, after the Colorado kids are done, they let all the local kids come and work out at Colorado.
Yeah.
And he went to a very small Division II school, Division III school, something like that.
Yeah.
And kind of all the scouts just left. Yeah. Every scout just left because everyone they came to see is
done.
Everyone
came to see is done.
So yeah,
it's over.
So he was kind of just working out, doing his thing, and the Chargers were there to see some, were still around to see some offensive linemen of some sort. And they kind of just saw, like, how fast this kid ran and how hard he worked, and they were, like, the only team left. And they, you know, ultimately wound up, certainly not drafting him, but signing him as this undrafted free agent. They were the only ones to get a look at him, and, you know, now he has a, now he's on fantasy teams.
Might be a 30 for 30 on him, Corey.
The fantasy exec looks like a Jedi Knight today.
Corey doesn't know what that is either.
I don't know what a Jedi Knight is. It's funny. He might do a 30 for 30.
Football life, Austin Eckler.
Sometimes when you show up to practice. Nah, go ahead, Greg.
So that's with Melvin Gordon and the Chargers. And, you know, one of those teams, by the way, the Chargers and the Giants, are going to get a win this week. And
this might only be their first win.
One of those two teams is going to get a win. And I hope it's the Giants.
I ask you a question as a Giant fan. Say they lose this week.
Yeah.
You want them to, you know, just tank the season after
that. Of course.
That, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you can say I'm there now. So, you know, whatever. So that's what has to do with the Chargers. But let's get back now to Green Bay, because there's a lot going on with the Green Bay Packers right now. There's quite a bit to talk about here. As Maddie mentioned just a few moments ago, Ty Montgomery, Jamal Williams, both practiced yesterday. Ty Montgomery limited. Jamal Williams, the knee injury 10 days later, he has full participation with practice. Now, Aaron Jones looked good in his limited time as the main back in Green Bay, but Jamal Williams ran ahead of him in the summer. Jamal Williams ran ahead of him the first 4 weeks of the season. Here we are in week 5.
Drafted ahead of him.
He's drafted ahead of him. So here we are in week 5. The reason in one league, GST, that I tried to go after Aaron Jones was I already owned Jamal Williams. So Ty Montgomery doesn't play, and again, he was limited in practice. If he doesn't play against the Cowboys, potentially without Sean Lee, I want to start the Green Bay running back, whoever that may be. But, Scott, if Jamal Williams, who, again, practiced in full, if he plays, and obviously Aaron Jones plays because he's healthy, and let's say Ty Montgomery's out, what do you do?
I think it might be some sort of timeshare, but I think if Williams is good to go, I think he's been on the depth chart all along ahead of him. Like you said, I think it would be Williams. If Montgomery is out there, it's going to be a pain management thing. It'd be scary to start him because you have to hope a Rob Kelly thing doesn't happen where he like leaves the game again because supposedly it's multiple crack ribs.
If I won Aaron Jones this week, or if I have him on my roster. I'm probably putting him in my flex spot. Like in a lot of leagues where...
But is that just being stubborn?
I don't know if that's being stubborn, because like you say, if Montgomery plays, I'm going to be blown away. I understand he practiced yesterday and stuff. If you have multiple broken ribs, I just don't see how you come back that quick. But hey, he was practicing. Williams has the knee injury. Jones looked good. Rodgers got some confidence in him. I think he's going to have a role versus the Giants, versus the Cowboys. And after what you saw last week, I think you want to have a guy out there. Like I said, I have leagues where I want to bench. I wanted to bench Mixon. Say I wanted to bench Crowell. I have to play these guys now. So a guy like him, if I had to put him in my flex spot, I lost some running backs. I don't think it's the worst thing.
I think it depends on what your other options are. I see where Matt's coming from. But if Williams is out there and he's out there, you don't really know what the timeshare is.
Would you rather start Wayne Gallman or Aaron Jones versus the Cowboys?
I would start Aaron Jones, but would you rather start Alex Collins or Aaron Jones? I'd probably go Alex Collins.
I go Jones.
What if he get like 3 carries though?
Yeah,
I think he's gonna be involved. I think there's gonna be. I think for what he showed the other on Thursday night, I don't think either of these guys are optimal health.
You know, I look at.
Yeah, but look, it was already Wednesday though, and Williams was practicing in full.
And I mean, not for nothing, Williams hasn't looked that good anyway, in the preseason or in.
I'm saying it, could,
but he was ahead of Jones on the depth chart.
Yeah,
though.
And it could be a timeshare. I understand where you come from. The matchup looks really good, and he's the one healthy guy out of it. But you don't know. I'm with you on Montgomery on the optimism, but let's just say it's Williams and Jones. You don't know what kind of workload he's going to get. He'll get some touches, but you just don't know. And who are they going to use near the goal line? You just don't know.
They'll use Aaron Rodgers.
They'll throw to Jordy Nelson. Throw, yeah.
100%.
What's that guy's name? Rakowski? Ripkowski?
Ripkowski, yeah. Absolutely.
So, he'll have a 3 touchdown week.
So that's the deal.
Like the old John Cole.
That's the deal with the running game. And we've seen Ripkowski have 3 touchdown weeks before, oddly enough. But then he gets the passing game. And Devontae Adams, who all of a sudden yesterday morning, Corey's like, this dude's going to play. Coming back to practice in a limited fashion. He's still in the concussion protocol, but the fact that he got in that limited practice says, hey, he's cleared at least one hurdle to at least be back at practice. We'll see if he can clear the other hurdles by Sunday. And you know, for those who picked up Geronimo Allison, it's like, okay, maybe not this week, but you're still happy you own him because there's 3 guys in there. One of them gets hurt. You now have...
Cobbs went down before, too.
He's an insurance policy.
But that's a good point. When you talk about the passing game, you know, the running game has very often been secondary to the Packers. They could just say, okay, you know, we're going to throw a million times.
See, here's the thing with what's his name that I like. If you look how the Rams attacked the Cowboys last week with the passes over them, they used the running back a lot. I think that's where Aaron Jones could succeed. If what's his name is
the Packers are a different team, though. They're not going to necessarily change their game plan. We're the Packers. We're going to throw.
I understand, but if you have a soft little middle, I'm just saying
they could do the 2 tight end thing that the Rams thing. If there's anything I can pick up in the game film, you could see Martellus Bennett and Lance Kendricks get peppered a lot.
You can. Yeah. I don't disagree that both of those guys wind up scoring a touchdown. Whoever is the running back in Dallas, Big D, Green Bay this week, you're gonna want to own him. You're gonna want to own him. You're gonna want to start him. I just don't know who that will be yet. If you started Aaron Jones, if you picked up Aaron Jones, my advice to you really is don't be stubborn. Look at the other options on your team if you can. We'll take a break. We're going to come back. More on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Ezekiel Elliott. Carl Anthony Towns. Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year. Much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
You know what? I actually think that sometimes Don Burns just plays a song to watch Scott dance. I honestly feel that way.
I agree.
Yeah. Don Burns, by the way, for those listening, just start giggling in my ear, saying I do.
Little ZZ Top.
Yeah, he
there are certain songs that will set Scott off.
Right, there's certain songs. I know Scott's dance for this one. I know he extends the arm, he leans back and forth, turns his arm over, goes back the other way. He does it every time.
That's ZZ Top moves.
See? Yeah. So I'm 100% positive that's why Dom mentioned
this is that. That's a ZZ Top song about how you often come into the office and how Corey never looks. Sharp dressed man.
Oh, don't worry about me. I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and lucky I got on my pajamas.
Is that a Fat Albert character?
What?
Yeah, Scott, is that a cultural bias, Scott?
No.
Huh?
No. Don't even try that crap.
No. Is that a, I'm asking you if that's a cultural
You're stuttering.
Is that a cultural bias? Greg, I think Scott was being culturally biased.
I'm being culturally biased. Okay. Yeah.
You know, between you guys.
I have those kind of people in my family. Don't even.
Oh, who's those kind of people, Scott? Jesus. Who are those kind of people, Scott?
I have African American people in my family. So I know what you're talking about.
Don said, oh, no.
Whenever those Corey, kind of people, whenever Corey's upset and he's a crybaby, he falls back on culturally biased. Like
you
he
got
does
something
when he,
against those
when he,
kind of people, Scott?
When he quits,
huh?
Obviously
those
not.
Kind
I,
of people,
I married. I married kind of somebody people, who's African American.
Those kind of people. What are
yes,
those kind
I'm,
of people, Scott?
I'm very much against it. Crybabies like you, Mike Florio, lying, culturally biased.
The Seattle Seahawks are another team that a lot of people have looked to for the waiver wire moves this week. And you know, I was waiting for Corey to pick up Eddie Lacy when he spent
time. I'd never pick up Eddie Lacy.
Two words, money pit.
Money pit is an interesting two words for this scenario because I look at it and I legitimately, there are once again, you take Chris Carson out, there's now four guys that may do something and four guys that may do absolutely nothing. Pete Carroll comes out yesterday, a couple days after praising Thomas Rawls, and the reason, part of the reason, Scotty, was like, Thomas Rawls right now is the guy you want to own, basically says, oh, we love Thomas Rawls and we love Eddie Lacy. Fantastic. Yeah. Then, as Scotty has kind of thrown out there, Pete Carroll expects CJ Procise to play this Sunday. He doesn't practice Wednesday, and, you know, J.D. McKissick looks great in practice. Four guys, really one and a half spots. Money pit does sound like the perfect terminology for fantasy owners in the Seattle backfield.
Yeah, and you know, I think Rawls is going to be the guy probably going to start. But this, like I said, this thing is going to play out on the field. Now, Thomas Rawls, I don't know off the top of my head how many career games he's actually played. But when I was tutoring Corey about Thomas Rawls a few weeks ago, I let him know that the guy has had three 160-yard games already in a very short career. So there is some upside there. Lacy looked better last week. Had a 19-yard run, a 7-yard run. I think it was like 50-something yards on 11 carries. So he's going to get a chance too. Before Chris Carson busted out in the preseason, it was going to be a timeshare between Rawls and Lacy. They're going to go back to that. What could happen though? Why you have to throw a flyer in on McKissick in a deep league is because something could happen where one of both of those guys get injured or neither one of them performs and McKissick could end up being the guy. So I threw $2 in on him like in a bunch of leagues and got him and I'm stashing him.
The one guy this week going last night, I mean more than even probably Latavius Murray, I would have taken the shot on Rawls. Like Scott says, at least we've seen Rawls and then he wasn't healthy, so he never does stay healthy, but he has at least the one guy that has that upside, powerful runner and stuff, but it's kind of a train wreck.
It is, at this point, kind of a train wreck when it comes to Thomas Rawls and the rest of the Seattle backfield, because, you know, even Scott's saying the one guy you want to own is McKissick, but maybe I don't want to own McKissick. I don't even know. I can't even guarantee you that if CJ Procise plays, McKissick will be active this week.
It depends on what your roster construction is. If you have room to stash a guy, I think he's worth a flyer. You saw big playability from him. They like him to the point where they're talking about even keeping him involved if Procise is in there. And you know Procise can't stay in there.
Probably not, no. So I don't know. I mean, you say if I have room to stash a guy, I see four guys here. I, I don't even know how to pick one. I really don't.
I think Rawls, then Lacey, then Procise, then McKissick. That's how you list them.
Right. I just got to see Procise on the field.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
You will, and then it'll be get hurt again.
Yeah, and then it'll get tackled, and then that'll be it.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of guys that are hurt, or we kind of expect to be hurt. Oh, you want to note that Amir Abdullah was limited in practice yesterday. And I also want to note, we did this when we talked about snaps yesterday. Remember we said how Zach Zetter had so many snaps, we couldn't figure out why. Amir Abdullah left Sunday's game for the Lions and didn't come back in that fourth quarter. Now, again, limited in practice. It wasn't like he missed practice. And the reports out of Detroit was like, listen, there's nothing to worry about here.
Oh, them people, you'd be very careful listening to them.
But when you come back from when you talk about Amir Abdullah and being banged up and not returning to a game, that sets off a bit of an alarm, Corey.
Yeah, it does. You have to, especially this is the running back that had a Liz Frank injury that took him down last year. I'm not sure what it is that he's dealing with now. I can find out right quickly, though. But Amir Abdullah, yeah, he's playing well, too. I'd be surprised. I'm shocked that he's playing so well. He's questionable with an ankle injury. I'm shocked that he's playing so well, but if he's not able to get out there, then maybe, I don't think Dwayne Washington is out, too. So, yeah, then it looks like this whole thing is on Zach Zinner, which means they'll go back to throwing the football heavily.
Amir Abdullah says he was clear to return on Sunday's game.
But he decided not to.
in a close divisional matchup.
Yeah, I decided I'm going to sit this one out.
Roto Experts player card, inside injuries, injury risk category, elevated, health performance factor below average for week 5.
So do you want, when you just kind of throw that out there, want to explain what any of that means that you just said?
Okay, his injury risk category is elevated. That means it's above average injury risk. The percentage is 19%, which probably means that, 19% chance of, re-injury, et cetera. Health performance factor at 56% out of 100.
Which is pretty good.
So
that's about a little over halfway.
Well, I understand what 56%.
Yeah, but he said that's pretty good. I don't think that is pretty good.
I mean, your average play is probably going to be around
that. No, that's the question. What's your average
performance factor? 56 out of 100, that's not good. Well, a little bit over half your capacity.
I understand, but what's your average player?
Yeah, your average player is probably somewhere in the 60s.
No, it's not compared to the average player. It's compared to, what's his usual performance factor? He's in optimal health. He's performing at 100% of his ability. This says he's only performing at 56% of his ability.
Okay, well, do me a favor in that, because I do want to see that. Who's a guy that's 100%? Go to Le'Veon Bell. He's 100% healthy, right?
No, he is, but I'm quite sure his performance factor is not.
Who's the guy that right now is 100% healthy? There's not one single question about him.
Kareem Hunt? Probably.
Okay, great. Yeah. Could you look at Kareem Hunt's player card and tell me what all that information is? Because I want to see, because if he's at 100%,
okay.
I'm just interested. That's all.
We can ask Dr. A to clarify even more when he comes on this morning.
You better not.
Put that in the email? I wouldn't.
I think he'd be okay with that.
I wouldn't mess with
that. I will ask him that, because he's explained that many times before.
Well, are you saying we're not listening to him?
I didn't say anything. Don't be defensive. Kareem Hunt's at 100% on both of them.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So there you go. Yeah. So that means, what you're reading to me then, Scott, sounds like there is an actual reason to be potentially concerned about Amir Abdullah's injury.
Right. 56 out of 100.
I think, you're always concerned about Amir Abdullah. That's been the problem with him. We are seeing, hopefully he can stay healthy, stay on the field, and the talent can come to fruition. But if you're a Theo Riddick owner and he does miss the game, then I think he's a must start.
Okay.
Just look back to last season when there was no Amir Abdullah, Theo Riddick shined.
I absolutely agree. And that's why I'm not dropping Theo Riddick. I know people have talked about being frustrated with Theo Riddick. I read in certain fantasy columns this week, he is droppable. I can't get there yet, because anything happens to Amir Abdullah, they don't run the ball anymore. It's just Riddick.
Right. And, reading the key more, it's the health performance factor, basically, it's calculated on different levels. And below average is 40.1 to 65%. That's below average of what he usually performs at. And they said his injury risk category is 19%. The low is 0 to 13%. So, you know, he's a little bit above average for, you know, re-injury.
Slightly above average. I mean, 0 to 13%, he's at 19%. So it's not like that's 50% here.
The likelihood he's going to sustain of injury is 19%.
That's not so bad.
And his health performance factor is 56 out of 100.
Okay. I'm
sorry. I was about to say a lineup decision I'm thinking about out loud.
Your attention to detail is...
I'm listening to this guy talk about health performance factors.
It's math. It's tough for him.
I know.
Yeah.
What is
fantasy football is tough for you, Scott. Fantasy football is tough for you, Scott.
Week one, it wasn't. Trying to get me in trouble.
All right. So, what was your lineup decision, Corey? I feel bad.
I think I'm going to sit Martavis Bryant for Danny Amendola.
The Patriots have allowed the most passing yards. The Bucks have allowed the second most.
Yep.
The Jags don't allow passing.
You know what, Corey?
The Jags do not.
As we tutor you, you're learning. You know that's a good decision.
Scott, you can't use my stuff on me, Scott.
I just did.
It's not working.
It just did. It worked beautifully.
It's funny when I do it, Scott. You can hear laughter through the radio when you do it.
Yeah, because you're laughing.
Oh my God.
Yeah. For 20 minutes. Yeah. So you need new material anyway.
I think you both need new material, to be honest.
You need new material, Greg. How about that?
Yeah. Give us detention now?
He
needs new material.
You literally taking a joke that we laughed at yesterday. You use it 7 times thus far this morning. Yeah.
Well, that's 7 more than you because you have no sense of humor.
I have a sense of humor. Yeah.
You're completely uptight.
I'm good. Take a break. We're going to come back. More on the Red Rocks this morning.
Ezekiel Elliott. Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
Hey, Scott, have you ever seen Meatloaf in concert?
No, but I interviewed him once. He's a very, very, very passionate fantasy player.
He told me that before, yeah.
I had an argument with my mom one Christmas Day.
I think you said you had an argument with Meatloaf.
No. I wanted Meatloaf on Christmas Day, and sure. She was telling me that's not appropriate, and I was like, I want Meatloaf.
Did you get your Meatloaf?
I actually did get my Meatloaf, and it makes a damn delicious Meatloaf.
That bar is played in like every... That song's played in every bar at like 3:45 in the morning.
Like 20 years ago.
Say, how would
Scott,
you know?
The hell have you been in the bar at 3:45 in the morning?
They don't play that at bars anymore.
Some of the bars I've been to, they have.
Scott, you don't drink.
Scott and Back to the Future.
Well, Corey, you know, I'm an adult. I don't have like a immature nightlife like you do. But when I do go out,
you would like it, Scott.
No, I wouldn't.
Yes, you would.
I'm a grown adult.
Yeah.
With a family.
Yeah, good for you.
You're a junior high schooler.
Don't worry about what I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bang, maybe you wouldn't show up at 6:15 if you weren't out all night.
Because that's the kind of dude he is. Because that's what he is.
Because I have to keep you in line.
That's what he is. You feel what I'm saying?
I have to keep you in line.
But then he'd be the main one to cry and go, I don't blame it on me.
I don't play Mike Florio lying.
Why do you keep going to that? Stop.
What?
Moving on.
Yeah. Let's talk about fantasy football.
So
yeah.
I do want to.
Scott can learn.
I do want to talk about fantasy
learn
football.
Learn how to beat you.
Because I want to talk about. You already beat him. You don't have to learn how to beat him.
What?
You
That's already, true. It's a good point.
You already. Yeah.
He never learns, though.
When it comes to Michael Crabtree, I think it puts fantasy players in a very interesting conundrum here this weekend. He returned to limited practice after practicing last Wednesday and Thursday in limited fashion. He did not practice Friday. He obviously had a bit of a setback with his lung injury. He returns to practice Wednesday, and I think you'll see a similar schedule. Practice Wednesday and Thursday. We'll see how sore he gets. And he practices Friday. He's going to be good to go. Problem is that Corey, E.J. Manuel is not the quarterback with Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper out there in Oakland as Derek Carr recovers.
I wouldn't be overly optimistic, but I would be optimistic. I think E.J. Manuel is from what I saw, from what we saw in those 17 pass attempts last week, I feel like EJ Manuel is going to be able to be efficient and move the offense and not screw it up too bad.
I believe, and I have to look at Pro Football Focus for this. I haven't had an opportunity to do it yet, but the Ravens quarterbacks of Jimmy Smith and Brandon Carr have been like phenomenal this year, like very, very good. I'll look at Pro Football Focus, like I said, in a few. But both of these guys have been really, really good facing Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree with a backup quarterback with an injured Michael Crabtree. I know you may not have better options. Like, I have Crabtree obviously on a team, and I don't know that I have better options.
I don't have a better option than Cooper in my dynasty league. I'm going to have to play.
Would you be willing to start the Ravens defense?
I'm intrigued by that. Yeah,
I would. The problem with the Ravens defense is if they're without Brandon Williams again, that the Raiders will be able to run the ball.
The Raiders don't have a running back to run the ball.
They had Lamar Sean
Lynch. They got
Lynch.
They got Rashard, you know.
Well, I know you're naming the running backs on the team. Marshawn Lynch isn't good.
No, Marshawn Lynch might be a sneaky play this week.
In a league, I have to play Mike Wallace, and you know what? I don't think this is a bad week for him.
I also think Joe Flacco
of all people.
Yeah. I like Jalen Rashard, but they're never going to give Jalen Rashard the touches enough to her to do anything to scare me off, right? Yeah. I like the Ravens defense this week. Yes, to answer your question, yes, I have no issue with the Ravens defense.
As far as Manuel, though, I don't think one half of football can convince me that everything else I've seen from the guy in his career can make me think he's a respectable quarterback.
Listen, I'm not saying he's a respectable quarterback. He's a backup quarterback, and that's why I want to start the Ravens defense against the Ravens defense against him, and that's why I'm legitimately concerned about starting
Quincy
a Michael
Carter.
Okay, legitimately concerned about starting a Michael Crabtree here this week, and the other. Well, unfortunately, I traded away my other option, so you know I don't really have many choices. But you get to Michael Crabtree, him versus a Paul Richardson, him versus a Cooper Kupp. That's what you're looking at. Hey, hour number two coming your way next.